I want you to think back over your life for a moment. What day in your life would you point at as the most tumultuous day in your life? Having just observed the 74th anniversary of the invasion of Normandy, some might point at that day. Many more of us might point at 9/11/2001 as the most tumultuous day. I probably remember more about that day than just about any other day in my life. I know where I was in the morning when I heard the news. I know where I was in the noon when I took a call from a son. I knew where I was that evening. I remember watching and thinking, how could that happen? Some might point out a day that was tumultuous for them personally. A diagnosis was given, a job lost, someone passed away. How does a person live through such days marked with high anxiety and fear? How does someone live through a day marked by violent or overwhelming turbulence or upheaval? How does a person live such days with peace in their hearts and minds? Isaiah will give us the answer. Trust in the Lord and in the control He has over all of creation. Turn with me to Isaiah chapter 41. We're going to start in verse 1. Isaiah chapter 41. He says, "Coastlands, listen to me in silence, and let the peoples gain new strength. Let them come forward, then let them speak. Let us come together for judgment. Who has aroused one from the east, whom he calls in righteousness to his feet? He delivers up nations before him and subdues kings. He makes them like dust with his sword, as the wind-driven chaff with his bow. He purchases them, he pursues them, passing on in safety by a way he had not seen, he had not been traversing with his feet. Who has performed and accomplished it, calling forth the generations from the beginning? I, the Lord, am the first, and with the last I am He. The ends of the earth tremble. They have drawn near and have come. Each one helps his neighbor and says to his brother, 'Be strong.' So the craftsman encourages the smelter, and he who smooths metal with the hammer encourages him who beats the anvil, saying of the soldering, 'It is good.' And so he fastens it with nails so that it will not totter. But you, Israel, my servant, Jacob whom I have chosen, descendant of Abraham my friend, you whom I have taken from the ends of the earth and called from its remotest parts, and said to you, 'You are my servant, I have chosen you and not rejected you.' Do not fear, for I am with you. Do not anxiously look about you, for I am your God. I will strengthen you. Surely I will help you. Surely I will uphold you with my righteous right hand. Behold, all those who are angered at you will be ashamed and dishonored. Those who contend with you will be as nothing and will perish. You will seek those who quarrel with you, but will not find them. Those who wait with you will be as nothing and non-existent. For I am the Lord your God who upholds your right hand, who says to you, 'Do not fear, I will help you.' Do not fear, you worm Jacob, you men of Israel. I will help you, declares the Lord, and your Redeemer is the Holy One of Israel. Behold, I have made you a new sharp threshing sledge with double edges. You will thresh the mountains and pulverize them and will make the hills like chaff. You will winnow them and the wind will carry them away and the storm will scatter them. But you will rejoice in the Lord. You will glory in the Holy One of Israel. The afflicted and needy are seeking water, but there is none. And their tongue is parched with thirst. I, the Lord, will answer them myself. As the Lord God, as the God of Israel, I will not forsake them. I will open rivers on the bare heights and springs in the midst of the valleys. I will make the wilderness a pool of water and the dry land fountains of water. I will put cedar in the wilderness, the acacia and the myrtle and the olive tree. I will place the juniper in the desert together with the box tree and the cypress, that they may see and recognize and consider and gain insight as well, that the hand of the Lord has done this and the Holy One of Israel has created it. How do you live through tumultuous times? Living through tumultuous times begins by remembering who controls history. God is sovereign. God is sovereign. God's people were under attack, probably by the Assyrians led by Sennacherib. Isaiah is encouraging his people not to buy in to the Assyrian claim that they and their gods are superior to Judah and her God. Do you know why we have dates in history? Do you know why we call this year 2018 instead of whatever we could call it? People began tracking time to prove whose God was greater than the others. And that's why we have dates in history. And so here Assyria is led by Sennacherib. And they were claiming that their gods were superior to Judah and her God. In verse 1, God calls for a meeting of the people, both Hebrews and the attackers, so that he can lay out the evidence before everyone. God is calling for all people to recognize he is sovereign. He is the sovereign who controls history, and to renew their strength by trusting in his power. To renew their strength in trusting in his power. He first asked the people who control the political events that were happening at the time. In verse 2, it was, who has aroused the one from the east whom he calls in righteousness to his feet? He's asking them, who is it that prompted you? Who is it that stirred you up? In verse 4, he asked, who has performed in accomplishing it? Calling forth the generations from the beginning. Both questions, the answer to both, focus all the glory and attention toward God, the one who created this world. He is the one who causes kings to be successful, and presidents, and governors, and anybody else. The God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, who took on human form in Jesus, is sovereign over the nations. Let me tell you, if you watch the news and you think, how in the world? If you watch the news and you think, the world is going to fly apart, don't ever forget that God is sovereign and that Jesus has control. He is in complete control of history. To look anywhere or to anyone else is to look for help in the wrong place. For true strength comes only from God. And he alone is in control of history. An example of how God controls history on a world scale is this. I mentioned the invasion of Normandy, D-Day. As the invasion of Normandy began, the Germans suffered great confusion in the ranks due to the absence of the general who was in charge of it all there. Erwin Rommel was his name. General Rommel thought that everything was under control enough that he could slip back to Germany for the weekend. Little did he know that 150-some-thousand troops were coming his way that day. Then to top it off, Hitler, believing that the invasion was just a feint designed to distract the Germans from a coming attack of the north of the Seine River, refused to release nearby troops, causing further delay. Reinforcements had to be called from farther away, causing more delays. He also hesitated in calling for armored divisions to help in the defense. On a personal level, my father-in-law never dreamed of being stationed at Fort Sill, Oklahoma. In fact, he had put in for other bases. He never once wanted to or thought about going to Fort Sill, Oklahoma. The brother-in-law, the crazy one, you can quote me on that the next time he's here. was an infantry officer stationed at an artillery base. My father-in-law used to say, yeah, I came to Fort Sill with two daughters and I found two sons-in-law. See, God is sovereign. He controls history, yours and mine. So remember who controls history. What is going on in your life that you need to remember who controls history, yours and the world's? Jesus knows. Jesus sees. Jesus is in control. Are you living in obedience to Him? It is true that every one of us has something going on in our lives, in the lives of our family or friends. As you hear the next piece of bad news, or at least news that you did not want to hear, remind yourself that God is in control of history, yours and the world's. His peace is available. And this is how you live through tumultuous times. Living through tumultuous times is possible if God is the source of your strength. God is sovereign. Rely on Him. In verse 8, the Lord turns the attention from the nations to address the people directly, to comfort them during their difficult days. He identifies Israel in four ways there in verse 8. He said, they are the people called God's servants. They are intimate with God. He is there. And they are His servants. The second way is that they are called the people He has chosen. The people He has chosen. They are called the seed of Abraham. And remember, what he's saying is we have history together. You are the seed of Abraham. Just as I called Abraham, I'm calling you. And then they are called His friend. Let me tell you, we throw the word friend around loosely at best sometimes. That is a covenant term. That is a covenant term. And they are in covenant and we are in covenant with Him. Verse 9 reinforces that truth. He says, He has taken them from the ends of the earth, called them from the remotest parts, and said to them, you are my servants. And the best is at the end. I have chosen you. I value you. Let me tell you, don't get caught up in this idea of chosen, because God has chosen for all the world to be in relationship with Him. But some of us, maybe some of you, have said, you know what, I know better, and gone their own way. He has chosen us in Jesus Christ. But we have to come to Him in repentance and confession, trusting Jesus as our Savior. Verse 10 is a promise to hold to and to remember in tumultuous times. God said, do not fear. Do not fear, for I am with you. Do not anxiously look about you, for I am your God. I will strengthen you. I will help you. I will uphold you with my righteous right hand. When life situations tempt you to panic, remember this, that God's hand is there to uphold you. He is there. Enemies will be ashamed and dishonored. They will be as nothing. Do not fear. Even though the world looks at you as a weak worm, the Lord will help you. Your Redeemer is the Holy One of Israel. He will transform you. God's promise to them was He would transform them and they would pulverize their enemies. Rejoice in the Lord. Glory in the Holy One of Israel. God is the source of your strength. While we lived along U.S. Highway 1 there in South Carolina, more than once someone on a bicycle stopped for help. Folks that were traveling from Florida to who knows where on a bicycle. Now, I don't know about you, but bicycles are good transportation if you're going a mile, maybe two. If you're going around the block. But to ride from Florida to who knows where on a bicycle? I think a car or a good truck is much better. You know, a good strong engine, go about 55, 60 miles an hour. Yeah, that's the way I think to travel. Where do you turn for strength to go on? Some turn to themselves, their skill, their intelligence, their strength. A follower of Christ should know to turn to the truths of this passage, that God is there, that God will uphold you, and God's presence takes fear away. A relationship with God through Jesus Christ as the Lord of your life keeps anxiety away. When life drains your strength, the Lord will help you. He will hold you up with His righteous right hand. And this is how you live through tumultuous times. As you live through tumultuous times, the Lord will affirm His blessing. Again, let me say to you, if you don't hear anything else today, remember this. God is sovereign. The tone of this last section, verses 17 to 20, it changes a bit. It is a proclamation of the salvation, but it is set in the future more. Also, the people are not addressed directly. The afflicted and needy are addressed. And God's salvation will solve this problem, whatever their affliction, whatever their need. The imagery used is drawn from the times of drought the people had experienced. God would transform the area. He said on the top of a mountain, there would be a river. There would be water flowing. It is as if they were seeking this drink of water, a drink of something to satisfy their deepest thirst. And God said, I will provide it. I will not forsake you. I will intervene and miraculously transform the land, transform nature. He is the God of Israel. He knows their needs. He knows your needs. He will care for them. He will care for you. He will answer them. He will answer you, and He will not forsake you. Last week I used as an illustration for celebrating what God would do by talking about how you enjoy a moment in time. You do so three ways. You look forward to it. You enjoy it while it's happening. You enjoy the memory of it. Do not look at the blessings of God. You are to look at the blessings of God much the same way. You look back at how He has blessed you. Think for a minute over your life how He has blessed you. Then you look around now and how He is blessing you now. And then you get to look forward to what He will do to bless you. He will take care of you. So think back over your life and the issues and the questions you have faced. How did the Lord meet your needs? When you were living a life that was honoring to Him, He will bless you. Sometimes when we're living a life that's not honoring to Him, He uses situations to try to get our attention. And for some of you, it may be that He's trying to get your attention today. Life has been all about you. Life has been about everybody but Jesus Christ. And maybe He's trying to get your attention. But if you are living a life that's honoring to Him, He will take care of you. How is He providing and working in your life to take the fear and anxiety and the questions out of your life? Do you not think that He can and will do similar things that, like He's done in the past, in the future? Life can and does become tumultuous, does it not? Life can be hard, but God will be present. God will satisfy your deepest needs if He is your God. Let me close by going back to verse 10. Surely I will uphold you with my righteous right hand. Remember at the Last Supper, Passover Supper, before Jesus was crucified? He said he took the cup after supper and said, "This cup is the new covenant in my blood. I will redeem you. I will redeem you with my righteous right hand." Do you know the peace that in life that is only possible by knowing Jesus as your Savior? Do you know that kind of peace? If you were to stop and predict this coming week, could any of us do it accurately? Could any of us point out all the things that's going to happen to us, whether that be on an international or national or personal level, that will cause us anxiety and possibly fear? God has it under control. I will give you my strength. I will redeem you with my righteous right hand. Do you know him as your personal Savior? Are you living obediently your life in his view?